that loud, noisy, and nonsensical music, let's get into the scene with some local politics, some civil rights, and easily takeable doses. So just prop up a pillow, make yourself comfortable, and get ready for 2 hours of Baffin's Beers Broadsides. 5 minutes late, but hey, we're here, and you're there. And you can come here if you give a call to 427-3772 on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Science. You're tuned to Free Radio and 96.3 FM. First, we're going to do a little delving into updating of the Steve Argue case and the case of the now what's called the Santa Cruz Five. The five Santa Cruz protesters arrested on May 22nd for such things as resisting arrest, battery on a police officer, which is meant touching a police officer as a police officer was forcibly wrenching or threatening a child in the arms of another protester. There were two instances of this, one of which I saw. This has actually been talked about ad nauseum on this show and other shows, and no doubt it will be talked about more because unfortunately these five people face charges for essentially attending a protest, raising their voices, and then acting in solidarity with their fellow protesters when they were being hauled off for no apparent reason. And the police, of course, acted outrageously, and we're hoping that the Police Review Board will be looking into this on Monday. Last time the board looked at the issue, they were deadlocked and would have an early independent investigation. But let's go to the courthouse now. This is Steve Argue's continued arraignment. Steve discusses it quite thoroughly, but he's, in essence, the arraignment was delayed because he's getting new attorneys in the case. Last word, I guess, Tony Serra and Ben Rice, he mentioned as either attorneys or possible attorneys. And here he is on Wednesday morning talking to a group of people outside the court after he has briefly appeared before Judge Attic, or Artichoke Heart Attic, as I call him, for his famous decision in the Sandra Loringer feeding the homeless case, where he sentenced her to he sentenced her to 45 days in jail, and she served 3 weeks. But let's hear Steve Argue talking about his case.
Increases to like $10,000.
Yeah.
Instead of $2,000.
So what is the change here, Steve?
It's a more serious count of assault and battery of a so-called peace officer. Mm-hmm. And with it, the possible fine goes up from $2,000 to $10,000. But it's still a possible 4 years in prison.
And what is the new charge specifically?
Let's just count two, assault and battery, of a peace officer.
And you previously been charged with just assault?
No.
It's not a custodial officer, that's the difference.
I see.
243C1 is a custodial officer, 243C2 is a peace officer.
The town had traditional overcharging here in San Luis County.
Yeah.
And the other charge is resisting arrest.
So they didn't get you for lynching, another stupid charge?
They didn't add lynching, no.
That comes next week, if they continue to rain on June 30th.
Well, Officer LaFever recommended that I be charged with lynching in the police report.
But what is lynching?
Getting in the way of somebody being arrested. So Steve got in the way of Julian being arrested.
Trying to take a prisoner away from the authorities.
No, I would think it would be attempted stopping of a lynching, but...
Exactly.
There you are.
Exactly.
So you've abandoned Diana August. What's happening here? You have a new attorney?
Yeah, my attorney is going to be Tony Serra and Ben Rice here in town. Right now, the attorney that I had here right now is Steve Siegel, who's also from the Public Defender's Office. Mm-hmm. That's until everything gets figured out in terms of, having the meetings and actually sitting down with both Ben Rice and Tony Serra.
These are pro bono attorneys, or they're going to...
Pro bono, high-profile attorneys. Tony Serra defended Bill Lincoln in Northern California, who was accused of murdering a police officer who he killed in self-defense when he was ambushed. Bill Lincoln was acquitted in that case. Ben Rice is also a high-profile lawyer here in town who is also interested in the case. And interested in probably taking it up until Tony Serra takes it during the courtroom trial.
Any new developments we should know about?
New since last night.
I was last night there, but we didn't interview you at the city council meeting where you spoke.
At the city council meeting, I spoke. I pointed out the fact that the eyes of the world are on Santa Cruz, that I'm getting support, and there's a lot of shame being put on Santa Cruz for the activities of the police on May 22nd.
An extraordinary number of emails came through, apparently, that there's 70 emails in support of you from different parts of the world?
Right, including trade unions from all over the place, from the United States. Trade unions in the United States, Pakistan, all over the world, universities, and statements from all over the world in support of democratic rights here and our right to speak out. There were 800 people who surrounded the U.S. Embassy in Paris, demanding justice for me. So there's a lot going on around the world and activities here as well. We had 70 people at the last Civilian Police Review Board meeting here, and the next one is coming up on the 28th.
At 5:30, huh?
At 5:30.
At City Hall, 809 Center Street.
At City Hall, but we're asking people to get there at 5 because we're actually going to have a press conference at 5, which is going to get out a lot of this information about all the support that's been coming in from all over the world. And then the next night, on the 29th, at 8 o'clock at the Vets Hall, we're going to have a forum on police brutality. So that's 8 o'clock at the Vets Hall. People should come down for both those things.
June 29th?
Yeah.
And then I guess your continuing rain will be June 30th at 8:15 in Department 5.
That's correct.
When's the victory party? 2005, probably.
I think all this pressure that's been coming down could have the impact of getting them to drop the charges. Of course, we need to keep the heat up, and we need more people coming out, larger and larger numbers. I've been getting a lot of support, and I need more of that support, and I need it to snowball and continue to... go in this direction of you know, opposing this police repression, upholding the rights of people to peacefully demonstrate against war or against the government on any policy, really. And, you know, and that's really what's at stake here. You know, possible 4 years in prison for myself for defending a woman and a small child who were being brutalized by the police at a peaceful legal demonstration where she had committed no crime. Yeah, people should come out on the 28th, come out on the 29th. These events are going to be, they're going to be big, and we need a lot of people there.
On the 30th.
The 28th is the next one. CPRB meeting at City Hall, 5 o'clock. Come on down.
Folks.
And that was Steve Argue speaking to a crowd of supporters, about 20 of them in the hallway in front of Department 5. With me in the studio, I have my producer, Becky Johnson, who has been keeping pretty close tabs on Steve's speech, and she has a few corrections and comments to make. Becky?
Yeah, Robert, I just wanted to make a few corrections in a statement that Steve made about the Bear Lincoln case. Bear Lincoln did not kill an officer in self-defense. An officer was killed. This was a case that occurred up north in Northern California. An officer was killed earlier in the day. There was an ambush, and the person, Bear Lincoln's friend, was shot and killed by the police right next to him, and he escaped into the bushes and was sought by the police for several months in a manhunt. He got attorneys and turned himself in. He went to, and Tony Serra did defend Bear Lincoln. He was not acquitted. The jury was a hung jury, 10-2 for acquittal. And since then, the district attorney has changed. The old one is gone, and the new DA has been voted in. And the new DA has announced that he's not going to refile charges.
Well, wouldn't it be nice to get a new DA here? I guess we have a new appointed DA, but I don't see much change yet. Becky, have you noticed any change in our local DA, Ron Ruiz?
Well, we're certainly watching what he's doing. Some of us were disappointed that he's seeking the death penalty in the Chillicothe murder for two of the four defendants. And that was, you know, something that we were hoping would not occur. However, it can be pointed out that he could have sought the death penalty for all four defendants, and he only sought the death penalty for two, mm-hmm. and that is a mitigating factor.
What about the drug war? That's the main blood that greases the wheels of the county injustice system. How's he doing on that score, Becky?
I haven't seen any changes. The reports I've been getting from the courts is that it's just an assembly line of people with very tiny amounts of various drugs, mostly marijuana, and it's just they're just cranking them out left and right. Business as usual in the Santa Cruz County court system.
Yeah, that's been my impression as well. We found that that's happening up in Berkeley, and indeed, we'd like to probably nice to get an update on from Berkeley and what's happening up there. We did interview council member Chris Worthington on Sunday, actually interviewed him at great length, perhaps too much length, and he was bringing up a measure trying to stop the endless expansion of the police who are, as Attorney Kate Wells told us today, the deputies, and there are four new deputies, for example, in Santa Cruz and the Sheriff's Department, they can't find anything else to do, so they run around and harass kids at the Aptos Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. They're downtown harassing homeless people, the Santa Cruz police. There are better things for police departments to do than those kinds of things, but if you have so many police officers with nothing to do, well, I don't know. Maybe there needs to be a special police activity program. We should possibly maybe give them some seminars and get them involved in free radio, perhaps.
One thing I'd like to see the new DA do, and that is with the Steve Argue in Santa Cruz 5, if he investigated the actions of Officer Dave LeFevre on May 22nd, that would be something. I'd like to see that.
Well, presumably he already has and has decided there's no need for any indictments against any police officers. So, I don't know what kind of an investigation you're thinking about, but the DA's office does routinely, supposedly, investigate the possibility of criminal charges by everyone, police officer and non-police officer alike. And I must assume that there is no DA activity pending against Dave LaFaver or any of the other boys in blue who waded into the crowd on May 22nd.
Well, I was contacted by Joe Hennard of the district attorney's office. He was seeking the videotape that I shot May 22nd. And I told him, or actually I had you tell him, to turn his VCR on channel 7 and 71, because we were going to play it that evening. And in fact, that exact tape will play again tonight at 7 o'clock on channel 71. An interview on my, I have a little TV show, I don't know if you know about that, it's called Club Cruise?
Club Cruise, I've heard of that, yes.
Yes, I'm...
rather obscure, though, I must say.
I interviewed Steve Argue and Tracy DeAngelis on June 2nd, and included in that
These are two
show.
People involved with the protests on May 22nd, the Stop the Bombing protests?
That's correct. Steve Argue's a defendant, and Tracy DeAngelis is a witness. And included in that show will be about 5 minutes of the videotape showing some of the police abuse done by Officer Dave LaFaver.
Make sure that's not Sergeant Dave LaFaver. Last time we had abusive officers, they promoted them forthwith.
Yeah, watch for a promotion soon.
Well, that's good information. I think you're probably quite accurate on your discussion of Bear Lincoln. Let's take a little musical break and then continue with the scene at the courthouse yesterday where not just Steve Argue was present, but also Kua Ling was also there.
But no one was ejected from the court. It's a new record.
Indeed. It was, I think it was too quick for even for Judge Attuck to do any ejecting. And he looked pretty dejected, I must say, as he approached the court. I waved at him, said, "Hi, Robert," and he gave me a passing greeting. Without an arrest, I might add.
Oh, well, lucky for you.
That's good news.
If you all day, lady, how do you spend your time, lady?
Got no time to be standing here gabbling, got no time to be answering. Beds need making, the dishes need washing, and venting need dusting and polishing. Scrubbing and sweeping and sewing and cleaning and cooking and ironing. Are you listening? I'm a production line all by myself, only the wages are missing. 3 kids of 8 and 7 and 2, leisure is just a mythology. When it's over my head, I can't go to bed, it's temper or else psychology. Mary's bedwetting and Tommy is jealous, the baby is yelling, he's driving me crazy. I'm nursing a nanny until I'm a granny, but why is it nobody pays me? I care for a lovely old mother-in-law, she's 87 and cranky. Husband's home with a feverish cold, run for the tea and the hankies, the hot water bottle, a telly, the paper, and now the kids have it, it must be contagious. So now I'm the family medical staff, but where the hell are my wages? If wives and mothers all took to their heels, you'd soon be needing an army, and paying them all their union wages, I bet it would drive you barmy. All eyes and ears, hands and feet, my finest gem, and he should have been true of me. I'd do the work of a dozen a day, but where are the wages due to me? Price is so high, wages so low, budgeting must be meticulous. The hours I spend in looking for bargains and cooking is really ridiculous. And though my man's doing all that he can, what he brings home is making ends meet. And I'll have to go out for a wage myself if the family's gonna keep eating. Years to teach her all she needs to learn to take that sweet mysterious journey past the point of no return. Overalls or apron, a single girl or wed learns first to use her heart and hands and then to use her head. She's not a true-born woman if she can't make a bed. don't want to settle down. She must be running wild. Her body tells her, go ahead. Her head says, wait a while. She's not a true-born woman if she don't want a child. 20 years to teach her to want to be all right, to find and hold another human who must keep her all his life. Because she works for nothing, he'll get a lower wage. If she were not dependent, they might fly out of their cage. Up in the morning before all the family get the grub on the table. Beds need making, the dishes need washing, it's everything done on the double. Drop the kids off at the school and run for me bus. Don't you think it's outrageous? I'd more than enough with me labor of love. Now I'm doing another for wages. The boss is as good as a boss can be, but the office is just like a nursery. Smoothing his life, soothing his trouble, remembering his anniversary. Remind and worry and hurry and scurry and into the frying pan, out of the cage, and it's home from home wherever I roam. But at least I'm getting my wages. On my way home, I shop for the dinner and then have a tidy around. Billy comes in, sits down with the paper, says, girl, don't you ever sit down. Men of the world, would you think it was strange, think it was right, think it was funny to slog every night at a job for free after slogging all day for your money? Mess mopper, button sewer, do a sewer, tidy up a box of supper, money. stretcher, run and fetch her. Cake maker, pie maker, early waker, bed maker, breakfast maker, lunch maker, tea maker, sandwich maker.
Lady, what do you do all day? Lady, it's your only life. When they ask you, what do you say?
Oh, I don't work. I'm nothing but a housewife.
Help your campaign if they can't come to these events.
Well,
your defense.
There's a couple things people can do. You can call in. You can call the mayor. Call the city council.
420-5020, perhaps.
Perhaps. And call them up because they're directly responsible for the police. They're the bosses of the police. They also they also have a big impact on what the CPRB does because they hire them and fire them as well. And so you can demand that the Civilian Police Review Board call them and demand that the Civilian Police Review Board do its job and carry out an investigation with a public meeting discussing the findings of that, and also having have them demand that they discipline the police for their crimes carried out on May 22nd. That the charges be dropped against the protesters who were victimized by the police on May 22nd.
There are still five protesters who have charges against them.
Five protesters, that's right. And one had been an infraction, Go Lang, and now they've upped that to a misdemeanor. So the charges against us all are all fairly serious. My charges are the most serious.
Speaking of what you Go Lang looks like she's getting away, I'm going to try to run after her.
Okay. So thank you.
And good luck. All right. So, here on the court is outside Commissioner Cloud's office, where yesterday you were hauled into court. And who are we talking to?
Colin Roth.
And Colin, you were one of those notorious protesters outside the McPherson Library on May 22nd when police, should we say, exercised what some regard as a bit too much force in trying to remove protesters.
Yeah, at least.
And what did they charge you with yesterday?
They charged me with disturbing the peace.
And did they actually charge you, or did they say they weren't sure it was you?
Actually, they said that the prosecutor said they weren't sure if they had the right person, and that the judge wouldn't let me plead one way or the other because of that reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And additionally, when you were originally arrested for so-called disturbing the peace, when the claim was made that something about a boombox, the sounds of war coming through an open door, were a bit too much for the sedate folks inside.
Yeah, that's true. That's accusation.
Very good. The accusation is you were disturbing the peace, but at that time it was an infraction, not a more serious crime, a misdemeanor, right?
Right, and they also had me for a ticket for Amplify Music, which they changed. Mm-hmm. And forgot about.
I guess the music of death just doesn't seem to go well on the court records.
Right.
So you were actually taken and held in a van.
Yeah, a paddy wagon.
How many officers arrested you?
I'm not sure. Some people say five. I don't know. Like.
Did they? What actually happened? They came up to you and say, "Excuse me, unless your boombox is too loud, can you turn that down?"
No, they came up to me and they took a hold of my wrist and they just handcuffed it, and they might have said you're getting arrested, but that's pretty much it. And
did they tell you what you were being arrested
for? No, not at all. I didn't know. I was really scared, that's why.
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't know why.
Did you say anything yourself?
No, I just went because they were going to take me, so I wasn't about to.
Were they abusive in the arrest process? I mean, were they polite? How were they?
They weren't really abusive. They were just, I guess they were like, they didn't really care when I got out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there were how many officers? You said some people said five. How many, were there one on each side of you? Or?
I don't know. Like, it's really hard for me to remember.
Traumatic scene.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
You mean after I was in the van?
As you were taken to the van.
Right, and the people surrounded the van, and they were calling to the two officers in the van who were about to take me away, and not letting them take me away. And the officers were getting very frustrated and were kind of threatening them that, you know, they were going to, you know, move the van anyway. And
you hear them asking, what is she charged with? What is she charged
yeah,
with?
Yeah, I heard them asking that and let her go. And yeah, it was really good. Yeah.
And how long after that were you held in handcuffs?
Probably for, I'd say about 2 hours.
And then what happened?
I got let go. I got cited out. And Vinny, Nassim, and Jim, they all went into a jail to get booked. I'm pretty sure that's
and the original right. ticket said amplified music.
Yeah, which they changed.
And what did they change that to?
To disturbing the peace. Yeah.
And you have a lawyer now?
No, I don't. I'm trying to get one. some kind of a...
You're asking me to run around through all this court process without a lawyer, and you may be charged with a misdemeanor, and maybe not.
Right, I don't know. Maybe
a suspect, to be honest
with you. Yeah, it really does.
Anything you want to say about this situation?
Just that I think that I got targeted, and that our protest got targeted, and that they're really looking for something to do, someone to get, and it's unfortunate that it happened.
We're going to take a quick mugshot of you. Hang on.
And that was Quailing Miao, the woman whose protest sparked a lot of anxiety and anger and concern in activists protesting the war in Yugoslavia on May 22nd, when she was hauled away without explanation or clear charges on what would normally be a ticket offense, that is to say, the person who is charged with amplified music or infraction disturbing the peace would normally be issued a citation, asked to sign it, and if she did, then be given a court date. This did not happen in the case of Quailing. Instead, she was unceremoniously grabbed, handcuffed, put in the paddy wagon, and held there for at least an hour, as you've heard. And then she was cited out later on infraction charges, but the charges were suddenly up to misdemeanor charges by the time she reached the court. Now, there could be some other reason we're not aware of, but one reason to increase those charges is to protect the police department, because making a custodial arrest in this kind of situation is questionable unless there is some real basis for it. Usually an infraction is not the basis for a custodial arrest. The two notable exceptions to that are when a person refuses to sign her ticket, or when a person doesn't have an identification or doesn't identify themselves properly. And that was not the case with Quailing Miao, and so why was she dragged off in handcuffs? Why was she not informed of the charges? And why were the charges intensified and multiplied and expanded by a level of magnitude from infraction to misdemeanor when she reached the court? Well, you can try to parse that one. I will do the same. And while she's trying to decide, they're trying to decide even if they have the right person. They don't even know if she's the right woman. It's seems to me a huge tempest in a teapot that the police department should really deal with by cutting their losses. Acknowledge they need to train their officers better, get some help from the Resource Center for Nonviolence, or perhaps Scott Kennedy will step into the fray himself and train some of those police officers. After all, he was on the council for 8 years and had good contact with those police officers, should be able to do that. I think that's the thing to do, just as I suggested that Chief Belcher made a good move when he apologized to Anthony Douglas for having, when his officers stole Douglas's newspapers on the street in front of the Cinema 9 back in September and wrote him a ticket. That was the right thing to do. An apology to the public when the police officer does wrong is the right thing to do. And I think we actually can get some feedback from a woman who may or may not have been doing the right thing for the last few years. We'll have to check it out with her. She certainly is being acknowledged by the authorities that be. I'm talking, of course, of none other than Tough Love Laura Tucker, Huff member, formerly homeless person, a former director, a board of director member of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless before she was purged by Catherine Byers. And I guess that one of the newest members of the Task Force on Homeless Issues. How you doing, Laura?
Hello.
Let's get a reading there. Say something.
Hello.
So, Laura, hello. I see that you made it in here. Where is your child? Normally, one cannot separate you from that young boy.
He's busy harassing Becky's children.
I see. You've got yourself a babysitter for the duration.
Yes.
That's great.
Hopefully,
they're keeping an eye on him. Now, you've been real busy, naturally, as a mother is, with a newborn and a baby, one-year-old and so forth. What do you see coming up with this homeless task force issue, this homeless issues task force? Is this, a lot of us have been rather skeptical about the idea, thinking this is just another one of Catherine Byer's little bones that she throws to Keith Sugar and Chris Krohn. It's Krohn's idea, I understand. We know that they didn't pass the sleeping ban. We know they took 3 months not passing the sleeping ban. What is your task force up to? I know that only 4 members have been appointed. You.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so far is what I've heard. Sherry Connival, Lou Rice, the Hunger Faster, and finally Linda LeMaster, the one of the co-founders of Housing Now in Santa Cruz.
I believe, although I'm hearing all of this secondhand, also the new director of the Resource Center.
Actually, as of Tuesday, there were only 4 people appointed. Maybe there'll be more. He was suggested for appointment at the city council meeting, but the council members themselves only appointed 4 members. There were 3 council members who, in fact, refused or declined. One of them refused, and 2 of them declined to appoint their members. Councilmember Hernandez refused to appoint them, saying that the $10,000 to be appropriated for this task force was a waste of money, none of which, I might add, is going into your pocket that I'm aware of.
That's amazing.
You didn't get paid for this, Laura?
I think they're using city staff. They're not going to have a staff. No, nobody's getting wage.
Except
and
the city
$10,000
staff,
is really nothing. It's a small amount of money. I'm feeling relatively fatalistic about the whole thing myself, because, well, first of all, I was thinking on the way over here, because I think what you're going to ask me is what I hope to see come out of this, or what we'll be doing.
That's a good question.
And I have a hard time making a distinction between what I would like to see happen, which is to have it be legal to perform a biological function in the city of Santa Cruz.
Well, you mean defecate all over the place? Is that what you're suggesting? Have hundreds of people come to town?
Well, there needs to be a place to defecate. And a lot of people that sleep outside know how to dig a hole, which is what the rangers have you do. But anyway, you know, I think that the human rights issue is so horrible, and it's really scary now to sleep outside because people are getting beaten up and the police aren't taking them seriously and aren't taking the whole issue seriously. And so there's a difference between how I feel and then how am I supposed to behave in this political arena, which I'm relatively
new to.
Oh, I was going to say retarded, actually. But, you know, really, I don't understand how all of this works. And it's all very frustrating, you know.
Well, it seems to me that this task force can be what you want it to be. I mean,
I'm going to be taking advice from as many people as I can, you know, yours included. But I don't know what I can see coming out of it, because all I have seen so far is people coming up to city council and begging and pleading to be able to see that people are really suffering. And
Kevin Byer says your 2 minutes are up next.
Yeah, and then the last task force was the 3 city council members who listened to everybody come up and speak to them for endless more hours and came up with the same nothing. And so, you know, Mike Rotkin says that he would like to see hear some concrete proposals, and then perhaps he may support whatever it is we've come up with. So I think that...
And Rotkin is a key person in the council, because if he voted for any of these things, I think you would find 3 other votes immediately. So if Watkin, for example, voted to open up an emergency safety zone, which I've been pushing for, there would be no problem in doing that. It is his refusal to take seriously the safety concerns of homeless people that is, in effect, leaving them vulnerable each night. And I have received two more reports of beatings, which I'll be talking about in the hour ahead.
Okay.
But please, tell me more. You were saying that you're kind of... What's on your agenda with this task force? What do you want to see get done? And not what do you think...
should happen, but what do I want to...
Well, if you had your brother,
you know, this took me by surprise just that they didn't appoint anybody, that Mike Rotkin, Cynthia Matthews, and especially Hernandez. I mean, like you were saying, at least that's honest, but it's so insulting for him to say that he cares so little about this issue that he's just going to give up his nomination completely.
Well, Hernandez,
I really don't know what to expect. I would like to, I mean, proposals I can think of right now off the top of my head is that as far as a campground goes, having been homeless and a lot of my friends are still homeless, it seems like, of course, I would support it. I think that people were saying that in the past it was not monitored well enough. I think there's a fine line between monitored well enough and institutionalized, so I feel like, you know, that if we did start talking about a campground, it could get real complicated once, but I think that definitely we should start talking about a campground, and I guess the first step towards that is where. You know, whose land?
I think we've talked about a number of different places on this show.
There's a lot for us to do, actually. We've only got 6 months.
I would say just the other way around. There's a lot that's already been done that you could do in the next 2 weeks if you wanted to do, and you don't need any 6 months to do it in.
Okay, good.
But I don't know. I mean, it depends on your perspective. Now, place after place has been mentioned for a campground. Ranging from the Poganip, Sycamore Grove, Harvey West Park, San Lorenzo Benchlands, Lighthouse Field, one of the green areas, one of the green belt zones, Bob's Pine Grove Campground, the area behind Bob's Pine Grove Campground.
Great.
I mean, and as far as for an emergency sleeping zone goes, there could be you could use a gymnasium at night.
Uh-huh.
You could use any number of places at night if you want to rigidly adhere to Rotkin's, his former belief that all he wants is indoor shelter. Now he says he's willing to consider outdoor plans. But again, his being willing to consider, I mean, every council member is supposed to be willing to consider anything, and I suppose they would seem to be unfair if they didn't, if they said the opposite.
See, the problem for me, I understand all of that politically. For me, I feel like people have a right to sleep, and that they shouldn't have to be zoned into one area or the next. I'd like to see it be legal. And I guess David Silva is working on putting another initiative on the ballot, which I'm feeling a little bit more positive about, actually, than the...
Yeah, he's working on a second initiative to repeal the sleeping ban in certain parts of the city. I think it's supposed to be a little weaker than the last one in order to lure in the merchants or something.
I don't think it needs to be weaker than the last one. I think the last one was fine. We just were having some logistical problems.
Last one was pretty weak, you know, as it was. No one was allowed to put up a tent, for instance, even if the weather got cold and freezing, even if it was raining, even if someone was sick. In other words, a person was essentially not being given the permission to protect themselves, to assure their own survival, which of course is preposterous and puts people in a position where they must of necessity violate the law. Which brings us to a couple of other things that are happening. The use of the necessity defense, which I'm encouraging people to use, even though we have infraction cases, which means you will get a judge and not a jury, because that's been ruled something you can do in a camping case. Also,
how does that work?
How that works is you say that you have to prove by a preponderance of the evidence that six conditions are adhere, and they're rather technical conditions, but essentially they amount to the fact that you did violate the law against sleeping after 11 o'clock at night, because you did so out of the necessity to avoid a greater evil, to wit, destruction of your health, to wit, beatings and other kinds of insecurity, by, you know, as you might have been able to try to flee, but you'd be risking your safety if you stayed awake all night.
Also, is there a defense for discrimination? For instance, they were letting, actually there's even a newspaper article about it, they were letting all of these Star Wars fans camp and party overnight.
Yeah, well, it was interesting that finally the newspapers, right, in, kind of in a secondary story, took note that the folks in line for the Star Wars tickets were not getting ticketed for sleeping,
yeah,
not getting sighted, even though they were not only sleeping, they had lawn chairs and all kinds of stuff out there.
Right.
They were violating other ordinances, such as the sit 10 feet from a shop, go to jail,
right,
ordinance, and lying on the sidewalk is another ordinance downtown.
There was people actually stepping over bodies to get to the ATM machine.
Right, and you can't be within 50 feet of an ATM machine when you do this, and of course they were.
Right, so...
Yeah, of course, no, I mean...
So is there any way that if I were to get a ticket now for camping, I could say, well, you let all these Star Wars campers do it right downtown?
Well, you could, it depends. You could try to make a defense, which is called equitable estoppel, which means that if they then said to you, if some official tells you can do this and then attempts to arrest you for doing it by saying it's illegal, then they're giving you contradictory information and you can quash the indictment or, you know, somehow defend against it.
So you have to say, I thought it was okay.
Yeah, but obviously it's not okay because there's a lot of propaganda against it, a lot of information against it.
Uh-huh.
And if you ask any police officer, he will tell you it's illegal to sleep in Santa Cruz after 11 o'clock at night. So it's true. What they'll probably tell you is, I think it's a defense you should raise before the judge. The problem is, again, you're not talking to a jury, you're talking to a judge. And these judges long ago bought into the system. But the real question I have, and there are defenses that can be raised. There's the Flory Edwards defense, which I think is an interesting one, which Dennis Rehm has been raising. It has to do with the fact you can't jail someone simply for an infraction. You can ask them to do community service, you can demand they pay their fine by saying you're going to engage in a civil suit against them if they don't. But technically speaking, you cannot jail them. According to the letter of the Attorney General's opinion of 1980 and of Section 1205 of the Penal Code. Now, some judges respect this and some judges don't. So there's a problem there. But getting back to your position on the homeless, on the homeless task force,
yeah,
because you see...
I would like to know what your advice is, what you think that we should be doing.
Well, you should simply listen to that fine show, Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, which... it's always full of many, many pieces of advice. I would not, I'm very skeptical of this group, and I avoided it because I think it's a waste of time.
Uh-huh.
On the other hand, if they are foolish enough to only dump activists onto this group, which is what they've done so far,
yeah,
I would forget about making a respectable presentation to anybody and become an activist group. Demand in a press conference immediately that the beatings stop. We got reports,
yep,
of a shooting on June 6th, which I talked about on the show last time, and a beating 3 days later out in the Poganup in the same campsite area just up Highway 9. I got a report today from Citizens Police Review Board member Sandy Brown of a beating, was it last night or the night before, Tuesday, at the Metro by, it wasn't clear, I haven't got the details before me, but she believed, I think it had something to do with troll busting.
Mm-hmm.
We got reports of a beating on the Wharf last week,
mm-hmm,
which apparently Sergeant Baker told me, I talked to him today by phone, was investigated, but since they would, no, it wasn't Sergeant Baker, he didn't talk to me about that, I actually talked to a newspaper reporter. Baker has been surprisingly closed-mouthed about the whole thing, or ignorant. He says, that's not my department, that's Sergeant Clark.
Have you talked to Sergeant Clark?
I asked Sergeant Clark to call me back, but for some strange reason, he has not yet done so. Actually, in all candor, I only called him today, but he knew I'd called, and he hasn't yet called me back, as far as I know. My phone has been acting very strangely lately, so I don't know. He may have had some difficulty getting through on the phone line. But I think the information from a source in the Sentinel is that there was indeed a report of another beating, that Mei Wong went out there to investigate it. She's a reporter in the Sentinel, and the person said he was beaten, but he would not give his name. He would not file a police report. He wanted it all to be kind of in confidence, and she apparently felt that was too hush-hush for her.
Uh-huh.
I guess showing you that she hasn't lived outside much in her life and hasn't dealt with the police department, the Santa Cruz Police Department, or just to say the apprehensions of an outdoor life. So in answer to your question, what would I do? I would make this a big issue fast. I would immediately call a press conference, and you don't have to say you're acting officially as the Homeless Issues Task Force because you don't have a quorum yet.
Right.
You can call yourself...
And we haven't met yet.
You can call yourself the Ad Hoc Homeless Task Force. You can call yourself the activist segment of the Homeless Task Force. You can call yourself HUF members, who are also members of the Homeless Task Force. You can call yourself anything you want, but what's important is that people are in danger and that the City Council, under the disgraceful leadership or lack of leadership of sleeping band buyers, is doing nothing. And that's my concern, I guess.
Yeah, I talked to another member of the task force. I guess I shouldn't say who it is. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. And who was feeling that it probably wouldn't be wise to get off on the wrong foot and piss them off, you know, right away before we even have our first meeting.
I think the only way to proceed is by pissing them off.
Uh-huh.
Or not so much by pissing them off, but by raising the roof and organizing homeless people. You need to get the homeless community convinced that you are going to support them strongly and in an upfront way. If they get the impression that you're going to try to creep in between the cracks of the...
Well, see, my experience...
They're not going to believe any of that, and you're not going to be able to lead them forward.
Well, they just want to be left alone. You know, I mean, they just want to hide.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, not everybody, but there's many different types of people who are suffering in poverty and different types of shelter. But for the most part, I don't think that there's just this big group of people that are ready to, you know, have us rally to their defense.
Oh, I agree with that. But I think that if they see you speaking in a high-profile fashion, they're more likely to come forward than if you don't. But again,
But what's in it to them to come forward too? You know, I mean, I feel like as much as I can leave someone alone that's got enough trouble already, the better. And if I can make it legal for
them, because they're getting the shit beaten out of them, because they're getting ticketed and hauled off to jail.
Right.
That's why you want to.
But that's why I'm there and they're not, because they don't.
Unless they're there, you're not going to have any impact. That's the problem.
Mm.
Unless they show up in numbers at city council to sleep in, to sit in,
Well, I would like to
act,
see housed people showing up in numbers. And that's another thing. I agree with that. Because I feel like a lot of people are misinformed. They've got their eyes closed. They don't want to think about it or know or realize that these aren't just a bunch of bums that don't want to work or... drug addicts or whatever, that it's real people that have real problems and real stories and different ways of coping with their poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, that's another thing that I would like to see happen, is a little bit more educating the house community
mm-hmm.
and reaching some of the house community in some way that they can participate. I know when I was housed, I wished that I could do something, but I was too busy. So maybe, you know, there's some way to reach those people
mm-hmm.
as well. But anyway.
Well, we're talking to Laura Tucker, who is on the Homeless Issues Task Force. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. There is a call number if you wish to support Laura against my vicious attacks or possibly...
I don't think you're viciously attacking me.
Thank
I wish
you.
That I had a stronger position, you know. I don't feel... very
let me
much more
number,
positive
let me
than
the
you.
Phone number to call in, and maybe somebody else can suggest a stronger position if that's what you're looking for.
Okay.
The phone number here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, for all you folks out there, is 427-3772, 427-FRSC. We do have a phone line open, we have one phone line, and it's open. So give us a call, 427-3772, if you want to jump into this discussion and... we can splash us both, create a few waves. While we're waiting for those calls, let's take a little musical break.
I am a poor
That was Peter Yarrow. I Am a Poor Wayfaring Stranger. Actually, from That's Enough for Me. One of those old 70s albums that I wish I had a better recording of. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, but apparently not as many of you as I'd like, at least not those of you with phones who want to call in, because that's what we want. We want them phone calls, man. Phone call city, that's what I'm looking for. Well, hey, ask and you shall receive. Let's just check this out. Let me give the earphones to Laura Tucker so she can listen in.
You're on the air with Free Radio. Hello, Robert.
Hello.
Hey, this is Doug.
Hey, Doug.
How you doing?
I'm good. Is this the vicious Doug from the university, well known for his activities with the evil Mike Rutkin?
This is the one.
My goodness. Well,
Well, that's a nice introduction there. Thank you.
You've blown your cover there, Doug.
Well, I was going to hesitate to mention my name on the air. I was going to use a pseudonym, but there it is. It's out there.
Actually, you're a man who has worked with Instructor Rutkin, and you've written a paper on homelessness, a thesis even, or was it?
Yeah, in your possession even, I think, at this very minute.
Confiscated that paper to make sure it doesn't get spread to a wider audience. Now, in the studio with us, of course, is Tough Love Tucker, who herself has experienced the gentleness of Mike Rutkin in terms of his policies. She's been homeless herself. Hey, welcome to Free Radio.
All right. I have to say, have you had a chance to check out that paper at all? Because I definitely had some, I did the internship with Mike, but I definitely had some pretty strong, I thought, differences, partings.
I have checked it out, but unfortunately, my mind, being largely addled by overdoses of mescaline and LSD, lacks the acuity that I used to have when I was a youth. So perhaps give me some of the high points of your differences with instructor and former socialist feminist, now Politico Rutkin.
Well, I think it came about a lot from my internship through the Homeless Garden Project. And basically, I think that project, in a lot of ways, and the way that the whole situation was handled is kind of representative of a lot of the attitudes towards the homeless, just kind of the real problems with process, I think, that people have, and it was somehow brought up in the last election, city council. I think the three people that were elected were kind of a result in some ways of that, that homeless garden project and some of the frustrations people felt around how that was handled, and so I definitely had big differences with how that was handled, the Homeless Garden Project, and how that land was taken away.
You're talking about the Pelton Street Palaces giveaway, wherein large, fancy homes were allowed to develop on top of property that we'd hoped would be retained for the Homeless Garden Project.
Yeah.
And in fact, the same developer who's doing that, I think, is now being given some more sweetie num-nums by the city council, or was on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
That's the new council, mind you, not the old one. Or is the old the same as the new? That's an interesting question we're going to have to look at. So, so you say your work on the Pelton Street, when did you write this thesis? And I guess...
I graduated last June, so a year ago. I ended up writing that. I wrote the paper on the homeless garden about a year and a half ago.
Well, I know the university has always been kind of a hotbed of, not a hotbed, but certainly a bunch of supporters up there of, one would think, elementary rights for poor people, particularly the right to sleep at night, especially if you have no legal place to sleep somewhere, which Rutkin used to translate into sleep everywhere, but he was relatively careful with the last show he was on not to say that, and I guess we should give him some points for that. Have you been listening to the show?
Yeah. I enjoy the discussion there, and I would just want to bring up a few points, maybe, on the concrete, some proposals, perhaps.
What are we going to do about these beatings? That's the main thing that's on the uppermost in my mind.
That's definitely a big, like, the safe zone. That seems like a good idea to me.